it is a special playoff edition of the pregame show live from Boombas Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. Jared Stillman is here. Mark Howard is here. Chris Sanders is here. Of course, the pregame show is presented by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel Sportsbook, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Guys. It's the playoffs.
I'm ready.
Chris Sanders.
So ready.
You have been talking for a week and a half.
Yes, sir.
About how bad you wanted the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, I do.
To play the Cincinnati Bengals in the divisional round of the playoffs. You are 2.5 hours away from that coming to fruition. How do we feel about today's game? How do we feel about the playoffs?
Yes. I mean, I feel really good. It's funny because I feel like I'm back in the saddle of playing in the NFL because I'm sweating and everything. My adrenaline's flowing. And I'm serious, man. And the thing about it is the reason why I love today is because I think that the Tennessee Titans are a confident team right now. When I say a confident team right now, they're playing outstanding. They got some rest. They got some good guys coming back. So, you know, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to absolutely blow them out. I mean, I know every time I say that, y'all kind of look at me like there's no possible way. But I just, if you just look at what the Tennessee Titans are doing now, the quarterback play is going well with Tannehill. The defense is flying around, swarming to the ball. And here's the kicker of everything that I'm talking about is that we have a healthy team. And when you have a healthy team going into the playoffs, you put yourself in position to be successful.
Yeah, this is the team that, you know, we've waited for.
Absolutely.
You know, we've heard about all through the offseason. You know, and here's the other thing, too. I will maintain that this is probably the biggest game at Nissan Stadium since 2000.
I agree.
Since the Titans played the Ravens. There is going to be so much electricity out there. It's funny how they talk about how great it is in Kansas City, and it is. Mm-hmm. How great it is in Buffalo, and it is. Well, I think you're going to see a little bit of the vintage Titans crowd.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, you know, louder out there than we've heard in years. And I will make another prediction. Derrick Henry's entrance today will be the most heralded, the loudest cheered since Javon Kurse in 2002 when he came back from injury on a Monday night against the Patriots. And that, for those who were there watching the freak, that was an unbelievable entrance. They introduced defense instead of offense. I don't think that's going to happen today.
Man, I mean, people are excited. I mean, I've been going to YMCA because, you know, I get my swole on. But just look, just listening to the excitement of people when they're lifting weights. I mean, you got, you know, young people coming up to me talking about the Tennessee Titans. You got old people, you know, talking about because they're excited. And they brought back the enthusiasm because the Tennessee Titans lost it a long time ago. And when you have that situation happen to where you bring back the excitement, you know, everybody's, you know, excited about what's going on. Man, I'm just ready to roll.
So I'll say this. I was in the fifth grade as a fan in 2000 when the Titans were the number one seed, and they were as big of a deal as they are today, probably even bigger, honestly, in terms of how much was expected. The team, the defending AFC champions, they get the number one seed. And I think a lot of people had respect for that Ravens team, but the Ravens beat them.
Right.
The other time the Titans were the one seed, 2008, I don't think people were as jazzed as they were for 2000, but the Ravens came in here, and an average Ravens team came in here and beat the Titans. And we sat here, you know, Chris, 2 years ago, getting ready for the Titans and the Ravens in Lamar Jackson, league MVP, 14-2, and the Titans sucker punched the Ravens in the mouth, and I think most people didn't see that. I think there is a level to me today, guys, of anxiety kind of thinking about Cincinnati, because I don't think Cincinnati's a great team. I think Cincinnati is a good team, but they are very much the fourth best team in the AFC. I think the Titans, Chiefs, and Bills are all AFC Super Bowl contenders, and the Bengals are probably a step or two away. But there is some sort of anxiety feeling about, hey, this is the NFL. Anything can happen. Cincinnati has a quarterback.
Right.
I think there's a lot at stake here today when you kind of factor in what we've seen in the past and that we know that upsets do happen in the playoffs when one team doesn't show up prepared.
Oh, but the NFL loves young, hot quarterbacks, and Cincinnati has it, has him with Joe Burrow. Last 3 weeks since week 16, Burrow and the Bengals, he's 3-0. His completion percentage is just over 76. Mm-hmm. 10 touchdown passes, no interceptions.
You know, just kind of looking at, you know, when you talk about when we lost to the Baltimore Ravens, when we had that bye, you know, we started slow. I mean, I know we had a lot of yards on offense. We had, I think we had 476. They had 76 yards. We just were a little rusty because we had that week off. And I don't want that same situation to happen to the Tennessee Titans of the day. Yeah, they had a week off and everybody's coming back, but you start slow. You have penalties. You make mistakes. You fumble the ball. You can't do that against a team like this because they will kill you with the offensive power that they have on offense. So, you know, I know y'all laugh about, you know, about me saying the coin toss and stuff is important or this and that. But at the end of the day, if you start fast with the enthusiasm of the crowd, it just ignites a fire for the Tennessee Titans to win.
See, I think defense is going to set the tone for the Titans if they win today.
True.
And yeah. I have no problem seeing that defense out on the first possession. Mm. This is the best passing attack the Titans have faced since they went up against the Rams. You know, Cincinnati has multiple targets. You know, of course they have Ja'Marr Chase, but they have, you know, they have Boyd, they have Higgins, they have Azumo. I mean, they've even Joe Mixon coming out of the backfield, and those kind of offenses have given the Titans problems unless the Titans get that good pass rush, which, as we know, starts with Autry and Simmons.
Yeah, and you have a hot quarterback. I mean, you said it a little earlier about, you know, the NFL loves a young, hot quarterback. I'm not saying he's handsome, but I'm just saying hot, you know, in that situation. But the thing about it is he has no interceptions in his last 180 attempts. I mean, what does that tell you? He's playing football. He's protecting the football. He's making the right choices. He's lying with his eyes. He's doing everything as a veteran quarterback should do, and he's actually a young kid.
I look at the Bengals, and I think that if the Titans go out there and don't turn the football over today, I have a hard time seeing Cincinnati
100%.
Beat the Titans. But the two things, and Chris, you brought it up this week, the turnovers from the Titans, we have plagued them. When the when Ryan Tannehill has a turnover, the Titans are 5-4 this year.
Yep.
They are 6-1 when Ryan Tannehill doesn't have a turnover. And the other thing, too, to me, is kicker. I mean, we've sat here this year. Randy Bullock missed from 47 against Houston. He missed from 42 in perfect weather against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
He has struggled at times. It's going to be cold. The ball is going to be harder to kick out there. He's not a distance kicker.
Right.
I mean, I if the Titans don't turn the football over, maybe it doesn't come down to field goal kicking. Mm-hmm. But today, I think that those are the two big keys. If they can make their kicks and keep from turning the football over, I think they're going to beat the Bengals. But those are big ifs today.
I'll tell you what, the Bengals are vulnerable. They're banged up on the defensive line, and we'll detail that. They do get their top sack man back, Trey Fredrickson, which is really important.
Yeah.
But by and large, the Bengals, in my opinion, have a defensive front that the Titans should be able to run on.
Yeah, I mean, and also, too, you want to stay with your identity, to what got you there. I don't want the Tennessee Titans to put the ball in Tannehill's hand. I mean, we just don't need it. Stay with the identity of your team. Run the ball with Henry and Foreman and Hilliard, and then use your play action and get your ball to the wide receivers. And then on defense, just do what you do to what got you there. Swarm to the ball, 8-9 has to the ball, making plays. Don't give up the explosive plays. That's a formula for success. Keep it simple. Stay in your identity and don't have turnovers. It equals a win.
I do think the stadium's going to be rocking today.
Oh, my God.
I do think they're, you know, and Mark, I almost put this in your corner because of how much experience you have covering the Titans. I think that this is the most jazzed up this city has been since the end of the McNair and George era.
And Sanders.
And, well, the McNair-George era would lasted one more year after Sanders was gone.
I know.
But, like, I go back to the 2002 team that went to the AFC Championship game against Oakland. That felt still like it was in that, you know, Titan window. And then the next year losing to New England and Foxborough. Like, it felt like as a fan, you thought every year that team could go to the Super Bowl. This feels like the first time that I think Titan fans think they might be going to the Super Bowl this year.
No, you're right, Jared. I think this is the first time legitimately since 2004 where at the beginning of the playoffs, the Titans have been talked about as a Super Bowl contender. You know, they got to the AFC Championship game 2 years ago, you know, sort of shocking the world. This is a much different deal. And it's funny. Cincinnati, as I mentioned before, by virtue of Burrow's play, has sort of become the sexy, you know, young up-and-coming team. And the Titans are a team that plays beyond its numbers. They just do. There is some context in maybe, you know, some of the numbers that the Titans put up. But the most important number for the Titans today is 22, because they get Derrick Henry back, and he's the game changer.
Yeah, and just listen to Mike Vrabel. I heard some of his interviews, and he said this. He said, right now it's not about football. It's about an opportunity. It's an opportunity to where nobody said you can do it. You know, the media said that, you know, there's no possible way when Derrick Henry got hurt that you can come back and put yourself in position to have the number one seed and actually go to the Super Bowl. So this is an opportunity, and I think the fans feel it. I think the coaches feel it. I think we feel it, because this is a great opportunity for the Tennessee Titans to do something that's special for this city.
I think this defense really is better than the last one, you know, that went to Oakland for the AFC Championship game.
Wow.
I think this defense is better.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's better than the one 2 years ago. I think everybody would agree. The Titans are thin at cornerback, no question about it. But by and large, with what they can do up front, I think this is the best Titans defense since 99.
Yeah. Well, I asked Caroline the question this week because, you know, Peyton Manning only won one Super Bowl in Indianapolis. And he was one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. And that's because good pass rushes can neutralize great quarterbacks, which I think a lot of people are banking on today as far as Burrow and Cincinnati's concerned. And I asked her, I go, the Giants team that beat the undefeated Patriots, who were their corners? She didn't know. I said, Tampa Bay last year that made their run to the Super Bowl, who were their corners? She didn't know. I mean, we'll get into defense and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about the secondary against these receivers from Cincinnati. The key has got to be this defensive line of the Titans, which, to Mark's point, looks every bit as dangerous as the old Titans' defensive lines. They've got to get to Joe Burrow against a struggling Bengals offensive line.
And the Titans, only team in the NFL to have three defensive players with eight sacks or more, with Simmons, Autry, and Harold Landry. And they've obviously, with Dupree, hopefully at his healthiest, and some of the other pass rushers, you know, I think this defense right now is about as healthy as we've seen it all year.
Yeah, and just look at the secondary, Jared and Mark. They really don't have to cover long. I mean, when your front is getting after the quarterback, and he's and he's consistently getting. I mean, look at when they went against Stafford and they went against Brady. I mean, just look at that when they were after the quarterback,
Mahomes.
They were veteran guys. Veteran guys has been in the league that saw every defense, but when you're getting pressure coming through the A and B gap, you can't go through your read progression. You can't see the second receiver. You can't see the third receiver because you got somebody in your face. So if they do that against Burrow, who's a young guy, his body language is going to be like, man, get me the heck up out of here.
Guys, I would not be surprised if leading up to this game, Mike Vrabel has been in Jeffrey Simmons' ear telling him, yeah, you were great during the regular season, but reputations are made in the postseason,
absolutely,
in the playoffs. And that's what we need for you today.
Coming up, we'll take a look at the big four storylines of today's AFC Divisional Playoff, Titans and Bengals. We'll do that next. Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, we're rocking and rolling. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House, it's the pregame show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's time now to take a look at the four biggest storylines in today's game. We move the chains, presented by TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. And, of course, we start at the top, guys, at first down. The return of Derrick Henry. He has been out since suffering a Jones fracture at the beginning of November. He is back. Derrick Henry still sixth in the NFL in 2021 in
that
rushing, despite missing half of the season. And there is a lot of talk from a lot of people that don't know anything about Jones fractures, foots, or healing, or science in general, who all have opinions about Derrick Henry today. What do we think the King will be able to do, Mark?
Well, I think the King is going to bear watching. And I think a key aspect of this game, Jared and Chris, believe it or not, Mike Vrabel and Todd Downing are going to look at Henry really hard, how well he can make those sharp cuts.
Yep.
Does he have that burst? and they will mete out his carries accordingly. But the return of Henry, in my opinion, makes Ryan Tannehill better as well. Yeah. Not only does it bring back play action as a bigger threat, but when all three guys are on the field, they average 7 yards per play as opposed to 4.9 when any one of them is off. And I'm talking about A.J. Brown, Henry, and Tannehill. Yards per attempt, almost a 2.5 yard difference, and yards per rush, 5.6 with all three on the field, 4.2 without. So just the comparison is stark between those three guys being on the field as opposed to a combination of one or two of them not.
Yeah, he just brings that physical presence. I mean, just having him on the field and knowing Derrick Henry's there, just like what Mark said, he makes everybody better. He makes the offensive line better. He makes the receivers better because they're going to get one-on-one coverage. But I think that Todd Downing has to really be smart. I mean, this is a serious injury. I mean, if you look at the carries that he had, I think it was against the Colts, he had 28 carries. That was the last big load that he had. I just think that you divvy it up between Foreman and Henry and still get the same results. I mean, if he starts feeling it and getting into a rhythm, yeah, you keep feeding the ball. But if you kind of see he has a little misstep or something doesn't seem right, you take him out and let Foreman get back in there because you're going to get the same results.
I think you should play it by ear.
Yeah.
He might be fresh as a daisy. He might be in vintage form. And then again, you know, and again, with the trained eye, the coaches on the sidelines, you know, might notice some subtleties in Henry that might alter their formula for, you know, how much does Foreman get, how much does Hilliard get. But whatever the case, they've got options if they feel like they need to scale back a little bit on Henry's carries.
Yeah, and just look at Henry. I mean, I know Henry is a guy who wants to be there for his team and do what he needs to do, but you still just have to be really smart. I mean, you can't just go out and just give him a whole bunch of carries at once. You got to see what he's doing. Can he cut and do the things that he's capable of doing? But there's one thing that I'm kind of concerned about. I understand he can, you know, run forward and, you know, he's going to get the feel of the speed of the game. But I'm concerned about pass pro. I mean, when you look at pass pro, can he sit there and take the brunt of somebody coming straight at him and still be physical? That's the only thing I'm kind of concerned with.
I would say this, though. I think the one thing, and you hope Derek would do this, and if you're Mike Vrabel, you got to sit him down and you got to say, Derek, you have to be honest with me today.
Yeah.
You got to be honest with me about your conditioning and that if you need to come out of the game, you got to tap out. You got to be honest with me about your foot. And if that thing's starting to hurt, you got to let me know and you got to tap out.
Yeah.
But I would treat Derek Henry the way that I had been treating Derek Henry before he got hurt if I felt that Derek could be honest with me about how he was feeling today during the game.
But he's not going to be honest. I mean,
you got to sit him down. Like, you got to look at him and say, Derek, you got to be honest with me.
But see, as a competitor, as a guy,
I agree
with what you're saying. But just like when I played, I mean, I hurt my ankle, but in my mind, I'm like, I can do this. But physically, I couldn't because I want to be there for my team. Derek's that kind of guy. He's unselfish. He wants to make plays. So I think it's the coach's responsibility that even if Derek says, I'm good, you need to take him out and say, I don't think you're good. So it's going to be on the coach, Mike Vrabel, or his running back coach to say, you know what, I understand that mentally you want to do it, but if you can't do it physically, we have to take you out.
Yeah, we don't want to see Henry throw his shoulder pads in the stands and take his shirt off. I'm just kidding.
He's okay.
That takes
us to
second down.
That's pretty good there, Mark.
Ja'Marr Chase has been the story of the Cincinnati Bengals, with all due respect to the rest of their offense, which is explosive. It's not like Ja'Marr Chase. The game breaker, Ja'Marr Chase, a Pro Bowler as a rookie, a second team All-Pro as well. He has been the missing piece for Joe Burrow, who reunites with Chase from their days at LSU. Chris Sanders.
Yes.
What do you see as a wide receiver?
He looks like a seasoned vet. And when I say a seasoned vet, I know this is his first year in the NFL. But the stuff that he does, the routes that he runs, the way he sets up the defender, the way he gets the guy off the spot. When I say get the guy off the spot to where he has the DB to open up his hips, I mean, he's just making plays. I mean, he has, 81 catches for over 1,400 yards and 13 TDs. that's not normal as a rookie receiver coming in. So, you know, he's that safety net, or Burrow's that safe. He's that safety net for Burrow to where at any time he can make a play. He can make a play in the slot. He can make a play on the perimeter. He can run the choice routes. He can have yards after catch. He does the things that makes their offense better, and Burrow trusts him.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, first of all, the Bengals led the NFL this year in plays of 50 yards or more. They had eight. And I believe Chase was responsible for six or seven of them. But the other thing about Chase is he can be used as a decoy. Mm-hmm. If the Bengals elect to go with their dagger action where they send Chase over the middle and clear out the middle and then send Higgins, yep. You know, Higgins or some or one of their other receivers, Boyd, out deep, they've had a lot of success with that. And the Titans have to be wary.
Yeah, and we talk about those other receivers. I mean, I know Jamar Chase is great, Boyd is great, but the one guy that I'm concerned about is Higgins. And we talked about this earlier during the week is, you know, when they start to double Jamar Chase and they throw those 50-50 balls, 50-50 jump balls to Higgins, what defensive back for the Tennessee Titans is going to stop that guy? Because, you know, if you look at some of the plays that he made against certain teams, you see him always making a play where he's catching the ball over two and three guys. So we got to make sure we take that kind of impact away from the game.
I look at Chase and I think he's their game breaker. He's the guy who, when they're down, he can get them back into a game. Just like Derrick Henry can get the Titans back into a game with a big run. Chase, when they were down 20-6 in the fourth quarter against San Francisco, made a play with Burrow. They got him back in the game. That game ended up in overtime. When they played Kansas City, they were down 14-0. They threw the ball to Chase. He took a slant 73 yards to the house for a touchdown. Yeah. That's the way I look at it, which is almost like, don't stop him, just contain him.
Well, I think the Titans are going to try to bracket him. Yeah. But, again, the other problem is Boyd, is Higgins, is Azumo.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got Burrow has other options, and they cannot let Burrow get into a rhythm. But as far as Chase is concerned, to use a boxing analogy, he is the Bengals' version of a left hook.
Yeah,
because
that's a good point.
It can come anytime, and it can knock you out.
I also, like, to use a baseball analogy, he's the guy in the lineup that I'm not going to let beat me.
Right.
You
don't
know,
let
at the
big
end
man
of the day,
beat
I'm, hey, if Higgins beats me, if Mixon beats me, if those guys, fine. Right. But I'm not letting Chase beat me because he's been doing that to everybody. That takes us to third down. This Titans pass rush with Bud Dupree either healthy or active, so not including the first two games Bud Dupree played this season when he wasn't healthy, this Titans team averages five less points than they did when Bud Dupree would play. Mm-hmm. They average one more sack per game and a half a turnover added per game with a healthy Bud Dupree and all four of the big four up front in there. The Cincinnati Bengals have allowed an NFL-high 53 sacks of Joe Burrow this season. Mm-hmm. Guys, what do we think about the Titans' defensive line against that Bengals' offensive line?
Yeah, what you said was really interesting because the rap on Dupree coming here from Pittsburgh, aside from the knee injury, was that T.J. Watt propped him up. And we've seen that's not really the case. You know, Watt had a great season without him. But Dupree, you know, on his own, is still a really good player. Mm-hmm. And, again, I'm excited to see this Titans pass rush really almost totally healthy or at its healthiest. But they've got to get that inside fastball back. Yeah. We didn't see that last week against the vaunted Houston Texans. And, you know, this is a quarterback who, by the way, Cincinnati led the NFL in sacks allowed with 51. So, you know, this is not the Great Wall of China they're facing to get to Joe Burrow. So they need a very productive game, as we've mentioned, and we'll mention again and again from Autry and Simmons.
Yeah, I want them to do exactly what they did to Stafford when they played against the Rams. I mean, if you look at Stafford's body language, his body language was like, what is going on here? I mean, you got David Long Jr., you know, you got Simmons, you got Landry, you got all these guys that are in his face. And as a quarterback, if you're uneasy in the pocket and you're not comfortable in the pocket, you're going to make mistakes. And that's exactly what we saw when he threw an interception to David Long on the 2-yard line. So if they get after him, pressure Burrow and make him uncomfortable and get him off his spot, he is going to make some interceptions, throw some interceptions. He has 14 this year.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I think this game rests heavily on the shoulders of Shane Bowen.
Absolutely.
And his ability to change the look, you know, after Burrow's come to the line of scrimmage. And there's going to be a lot of deception. You know, the Titans play zone about 61% mm-hmm. of the time. Mm-hmm. They play, you know, that, you know, inverted Tampa 2, mm-hmm. if you want to get overly technical. But I think this is a big game mm-hmm. for Shane Bowen yep. and how he maneuvers. Because they want for their front four to take care of the pressure. If they can do that and sit back with seven defenders,
yes.
then they can shut this offense down.
Yeah,
otherwise, it gets a little touch and go.
And if I was Shane Bowen, I wouldn't even blitz. And the reason why I wouldn't blitz is because that's where Burrows is going to kill you, because you get the ball to those quick receivers that have yards after catch. I would just keep, you know, Landry and Simmons and Autry and just let those guys go sick him and go nickel or dime and not give up the explosive play. Now that's a recipe for success.
And think of a young Ben Roethlisberger. Who, what was he best at? Extending the play.
Yes. Joe definitely
and that's,
does that.
And that's what Burrow does. He's not a speed demon by any measure, but his ability to go outside the pocket and extend plays, his signature moment was last week yeah. when he went way out of the pocket, yeah. almost out of bounds, but still throwing a touchdown pass.
Yeah, if you look at with Joe Burrow, look at his complete or his yards per play on attempt. When the defense goes man-to-man, it's 9.2. When it's zone, it's 8.7 yards on attempt. So what should the Tennessee Titans do? Go zone. Go zone and don't give up the explosive play and let that front just sick the quarterback.
That takes us to our fourth and final down. Chris Sanders,
yes,
I don't want to bring up a tough memory for you, but Al Del Greco missed three field goals, including one return for a touchdown when the Titans were the number one seed against the Ravens in the 2000 playoffs. Randy Bullock this year has been automatic from inside the 20s and inside the 30s, but between 40 and 49 yeah. yards, he is 8 of 13 this year and has missed some gimme kicks, including a 42-yarder yeah. against the Texans last week. Mark Howard, how worried are we about the Titan kicking game?
I'm always nervous about the kicking game because – yeah, you bring up Al, and Chris will tell you
he never missed.
It just got into his head. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. You know, I saw Al kick, you know, for, what, five? You know, 4 or 5 years. And he never had a game like that. That game was crazy, too.
Yeah.
Because a guy named Chris Coleman
blocked
two butts. Yeah. But whatever the case. Yeah. Yeah, I'm concerned about Bullock, too.
You know, and Mark, you made a good point. It was in his head. I mean, if you look at with Del Greco, they call his nickname was Automatic Al because he always made the kick. What was the difference when we got into Baltimore is when he got one blocked. He missed it, and then it gets in the head. With Bullock, you got to erase that statistic out of your mind. If you're 8 for 13, they're counting you. But the thing that I hope that happens that we score touchdowns and we just use
leave
extra
him
points.
The key to the 2019 run to the AFC Championship game yes. was that the Titans never asked Greg yes. Joseph to make a field goal
Thank
until
you.
The AFC title game against
That's
the
all
Chiefs.
We need. That's
and
all we
I,
need.
I asked John Robinson, we had him on that week, going into the AFC Championship game, and I said, John, Greg Joseph kicking from 45 for the win in a trip to the Super Bowl, and he said, I go, what's your reaction? And he goes, let it rip, Tater Chip. You know he's sitting there. You know he's nervous as all get out about the kicking game. That is Moving the Chains with our friends at TriStar Moving. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Titans offense against this Bengals defense. What do we expect? We'll get to that next. It's a pregame show live from Boomba's Crab Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Inside the Playbook is brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
You are the offensive coordinator today of the Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
You've got A.J. Brown, mm-hmm. Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, Nick Westbrook Akina. Anthony Firkser the last 2 weeks has decided to show up. Thank
there
goodness.
There you go. Oh, my
Jeff
gosh.
Swaim, you got the whole Ooh. Crew today to pick from. Cincinnati, 17th in total defense in the NFL.
Yep.
What is your game plan today?
I mean, it's very simple. You want to definitely keep it simple. You don't want to put the ball in Tannehill's hands. You just really don't. You run the ball with Derrick Henry. You do play action, and you get the ball to your playmakers. Who's your playmakers? You said it, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. I think this is a prime game for Julio to show up today. I mean, if Julio shows up today, I definitely think that the Tennessee Titans can definitely be successful.
I think Julio and A.J. Brown have a great matchup advantage over the Bengals corners, who are smallish, Jones and Brown, both very physical. But, Jared, frankly, I think Tannehill's going to do what any quarterback does and look for the cornerback from Ohio State and pick on him. And in this case, it's Eli Apple.
Yes, sir.
I believe that you're going to see a lot of A.J. Brown on Eli Apple. And I like that matchup, too.
And then, you know, I want to elaborate on the running game again. And I mean, the reason why I want to elaborate on a little bit more is...
Because you don't want to talk about how bad the corner from Ohio State is.
Exactly. Nah, if you look at the last game that the Tennessee Titans played the Cincinnati Bengals, the Tennessee Titans got down early.
Titans absolutely tossed that game.
But you know what they did is they went back to the running game. You remember, everybody forgot about Foreman. On the third drive,
Foreman had a good game.
They had a 92-yard drive, and all it was Derrick Henry and Foreman, and ran it down their throat and said, "I dare you to stop me." That's exactly what the Tennessee Titans need to do. Henry needs to run it down the throat, give it to Foreman, and then you got Hilliard. That's a home run hitter. So I don't think that they just need to overdo things. Just stay with the identity of your team. Run the ball, play action, get the ball to your playmakers, and you win the ball game.
Hell is officially frozen over. I agree with Chris Sanders.
No!
And that is, don't overthink it.
Yes.
Because I've heard all these analysts all week, Tannehill's got to throw the ball.
No.
His QB rating when he doesn't go with play action is like 46, and I get all that. But you go with, it's the old John Madden line. You know, you go with who brung you to the dance, and that's the running game.
Yes.
And I don't think Todd Downing is going to deviate that, you know, that far away from that. Plus, to be smart, you got to play a little keep away from the Cincinnati offense. Right. You want to keep that offense off the field as much as you can, and the best way to do it is with a potent running game, which is, you know, right in the Titans' wheelhouse.
So, I watched some Cincinnati tape, and I'm going to tell you, their defense, they play hard, they're aggressive. They're not very good, though. You know, it's a bunch of average NFL players, and they are really going to miss Larry Ogunjobi, their defensive tackle, who I think may honestly be more valuable to their team than Trey Hendrickson, the pass rusher, who's in the Pro Bowl with 14 sacks. And I only say this because Ogunjobi was big both against the pass and against the run, and he was a fast D tackle that could get out and go help on swarm to the football. He's out. Now, they've got good players on the defensive line, Hubbard and DJ Reader, who's a great run stuffer. Their secondary is very average. I think they're going to sell out for the run early. I think you're going to see nine in the box. I think if, Mark, you know this, Chris, you were a part of it. If this were the old days, it'd be perfect to dial up a play action, roll out, throw it deep to Chris Sanders.
Say that again.
Because I just don't think that Cincinnati has the secondary that is capable of stopping the Titan receivers. I'm not saying throw the ball all over the yard, but a quick strike early might be a good call from Todd Downing.
I think the Titans are going to impose their will early. I think that is really the talk in that locker room right now. Get off to a good start. Don't let Cincinnati get going. And, we'll see what happens. But I think the first quarter is going to be very interesting.
I just don't think that their defense can physically match up with us. I mean, with the Tennessee Titans. I mean, you got Saffold, you got Lawan.
Are you worried about the off week, though?
That's the only thing that I'm concerned about, just a little bit. That's a great point, Jared. But I think once they get in the rhythm of the game and get into what the game plan is, I think their physicalness is going to overtake them, because I understand that their front is pretty good, their secondary is bad. But when you get into the third and fourth quarter, when Henry starts running through your lips, when Foreman starts running through your lips, what are you going to do? You can be good up to three quarters, but when somebody's physically punishing you like a body blow, it's going to hurt eventually.
And one thing I liked with Vrabel this week, he had some contact. The team practiced and hit each other a little bit, you know, because he doesn't want to lose that after a week. You want to stay healthy, But at the same time, you don't want to lose that feeling, you know, of going man to man.
So one thing that I found to be pretty interesting was the three home playoff games the Titans have lost to the Ravens. And I say this because, you know, what kind of teams win on the road in the playoffs? Cincinnati is not a defensive team. The 2000 Ravens, number one in the league in points allowed. The 2008 Ravens, third in the league in points allowed. And the 2020 Ravens last year, third in the league in points allowed. Good defenses. Both the 2000 Ravens and the 2008 Ravens, number one in taking the ball away. Cincinnati is 17th in taking the ball away. And I think that's a big stat going into today's game, because if the Titans don't turn the ball over, I see it being a hard – I see the Bengals having a hard time taking advantage and getting a lead in this game if they don't take the ball away.
You know, I hate to keep reverting back to 2000. Because in my opinion, that was a unicorn game. You look at the stats. If you just looked at the stats, you would have thought the Titans
42
won.
Minutes time of possession
That's
to
crazy.
19.
Crazy.
Crazy.
That,
crazy.
That first drive when Eddie went in for the touchdown, I thought was what was a punch in the mouth that was going to win the game for him. But whatever the case, sometimes things go sideways.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to adjust. You've got to be able to you know, be able to recover from a bad break. And there might be one or two of those today. So we'll see. I mean, the Titans have been a pretty resilient team. And I don't want to say they've been lightly regarded, because I've seen a lot of people pick them today. But going in for a number one seed, they don't get a lot of love.
I would say this. I think the Titans are respected. I don't think people believe in them. If that makes any sense.
And everybody loves the Chiefs and Bills this week. That's the game everybody's in love with. They love the Packers and 49ers.
I just think that because the Tennessee Titans are not a sexy team.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not throwing the ball.
Well, they don't have the quarterback.
Exactly. And throwing it all around. Like, I mean, look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They have Mahomes. Rams, they got Stafford. It's sexy. They're throwing the ball around in explosive plays. We're just running the ball down your throat. I mean, we're trying to run through your face and a lot of quote, people don't like that.
You know what's crazy?
What's that?
Of all the quarterbacks that are left in the NFL playoffs, Stafford, Mahomes, Allen, Garoppolo, Ryan Tannehill beat all of them this year.
Yep.
So as much as people want to harp on Joe Burrow, that I think is a crazy element of today's game. Let's flip it over to the defensive side. We'll do that coming up next. It is the pregame show live from Boombox Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Inside the Playbook is brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. Mark Howard, Joe Burrow, and the Bengals have been lighting up the scoreboard, and they have not been turning the football over lately. The Bengals have Joe Mixon, a Pro Bowl running back, who's also a dual threat out of the backfield. Ja'Marr Chase, who's an all-pro rookie, as well as Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. Don't forget about C.J. Uzomah, the tight end. This is a solid group led by their second-year quarterback. What do you do today if you're Shane Bowen?
You keep everything in front of you. You know, and I, like I said, I mean, this is a prime example of why the Titans are going to play a lot of zone today. They're a good zone team. They're a good tackling team. And believe me, guys, today, especially with the Bengals, yards after catch will be a stat that we're going to be looking at.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100%. But the one thing that we really need to do, and we talked about this earlier, is we definitely have to get after Burrow. We can't let him sit comfortable in the pocket. We got to get him off his spot and make sure he makes bad decisions. I just want them to use the same game plan that they used against the Rams. I mean, they pressured Burrow. I mean, not Burrow. They pressured Stafford and made him make mistakes. And also Shane Bowen, he disguised a lot of the coverages. And when you disguise a lot of the coverages, quarterbacks feel uncomfortable on making the right read because they don't know what the coverage is.
How about one of the best matchups of the game? Jeffrey Simmons against former Titan Quentin Spain.
Well, I will say this.
Yeah.
They will not be able to block Jeffrey
Absolutely
Simmons.
Absolutely not.
I mean, they're with the inside of their line is so bad. The big key is Joe Burrow using his legs. You brought up the Rams, Chris.
Yes.
And I think the first thing that the Bengals did with Zach Taylor who comes from the Rams, right. The first thing that he probably did was pop in that Rams tape.
That's what
and
I'm
take
saying.
A look at what the Titans did. The difference between the Bengals and the Rams is the Rams have a better offensive line, but Joe Burrow will move around more and extend the play more than Matthew Stafford will. And I think there's got to be something that Vrabel's got to plan out. I think it may be kind of like a green dog spy where the guy comes later, maybe David Long Jr., to kind of track Burrow to keep him from running around. But I do think that Burrow's extension of the play has me concerned, and his ability to throw from anywhere and put it wherever he wants.
But I think we're a faster defense. And the reason why I say we're a faster defense is because you got David Long Jr. who can run. You got Landry, and those guys can run. So even though he may extend the play or get outside the pocket, I don't think he's going to have some of those long runs because our defense is so much faster. And another thing that we definitely have to do on the defensive side is we got to send some pressure in the A and B gap, kind of like what you're talking about, so he can't step up and make those throws and get him out the pocket and tackle him and make sure he doesn't make those explosive plays.
And, you know, Autry and Simmons, when they're at their best, they're running those games, those twists, those stunts, so they won't be as predictable. And that's where they get that A and B gap pressure.
Yeah, and then another thing we got to do, Jared, is we got to make sure that we get off on third down, because you better believe that they're thinking the same thing, that Henry's back. They got A.J. Brown and all those guys. If we just convert third down, those guys can't get on the field. So they're thinking that also. So if we get off third down, get Burrow in trouble, don't give up the explosive plays, Tennessee Titans win by 30.
So I think one of the big things about Cincinnati is they are big with the explosive play, especially Ja'Marr Chase. They're 17th in the NFL in the red zone. The Titans, by comparison, are 5th in the red zone. And if you go back to last week's game, Cincinnati played against the Raiders. They really got stopped for the most part once they got inside the red zone.
Yeah.
And that's why that game was close, because it felt like Cincinnati dominated for the first 20 minutes of the game. You know, Cincinnati was in full control with that crowd. And I look at this and I think, if their red zone offense struggles, and it's probably in large part because with all that speed, they love to get behind you, I think you may see a bend don't break defense from the Titans and say, okay, fine, Cincinnati, kick your field goals and go from there.
Well, the same thing happened against the Raiders. They had a hard time in the red zone. They got down there a lot. And they were able to dominate the game offensively. They made a lot of plays. But still, Edmondson had to kick a lot of field goals.
I also think this when it comes to Cincinnati and what they're able to do on offense, which is they will run the ball with either Mixon or Perine, but they don't want to run the ball.
No.
They want to throw the football. And I wonder if that plays into Vrabel's hands.
Yeah, I mean the rush is, I think they're 23rd in rushing. So I don't think that the Tennessee Titans are really they're going to focus on the running game, but they're not really concerned about the running game. They're concerned about those guys on the perimeter. So if they can just not give up the explosive plays, get off on third down, I just think that we're in a win-win situation.
No, I agree.
What do we make of the fact that Burrow hasn't turned it over in 5 straight games?
He's playing great. He's got a total mastery of that offense. He does all the things that great quarterbacks do. He's got anticipation. He can move the guys in the secondary with his eyes. He knows what he's doing back there. Not only does he have great physical talent, but he's pretty good from the neck up.
Yeah, and he's got a little cockiness to him. TD always talk about when you're a quarterback, you got to have a little bit of cockiness. It's not a cockiness as of, being just really prideful. It's saying, you know what, I feel like I'm the best quarterback in this league. I can make the play. I can make the throw. And it's not to where he's just putting himself on the pedal. He just knows that he can make that type of play.
What do you guys think of the Titans secondary? Because everybody said going into this week, I don't know if the Titans secondary can handle these wide receivers.
They're not. Oh, go ahead.
Well, it's like you said, Jared. I don't want to have to worry that much about the Titans secondary, because if they get a good pass rush, everything takes care of itself. Left to their own devices, their secondary's okay.
Yeah, look at
secondary's average.
Look at all their receivers with the Rams. I mean, I know I keep going back to the Rams. There was no time for Stafford to get them the ball. And if you have your front consistently in a quarterback's face, the quarterback can't make his read or go through his progression because you have somebody in there in your face. So if they do that against Burrow, I don't care if you are the best quarterback in the league. When you're feeling pressure and you get off the spot and you can't make your reads, it's lights out for what you're doing.
I think Eric Molden, the Titans nickel, is going to have his hands full with Boyd. I think Azuma is a guy that not a lot of people are talking about coming in. Scored his first playoff touchdown last week, and a guy that I think is dangerous. He scares me. But, you know, obviously Ja'Marr Chase is the guy we're all looking at.
What do we make of the crowd and the possibility of Cincinnati having to go to the silent count today, Chris?
That's a plus for us. I mean, because if you look at it in 1999 when we had the great home field advantage, it was because of the 12th man. The 12th man was the crowd that's consistently was loud, and, you know, you're going to get penalties where guys jumping off sides and all that stuff.
So here's what I think is a big deal about the silent count. They got a horrible offensive line, right?
Yeah.
So when you go to the silent count, the offensive line, specifically the tackles, have to look at the football just like the defensive line has to look at the football, and they have to wait until the ball snapped.
Right.
So now, all of a sudden, Bud Dupree has the same, you know, jumps at the same time that Jonah Williams, the left tackle, jumps at. Mm-hmm. Harold Landry jumps at the same time that the backup right tackle, Isaiah Prince, who's in there, jumps up at. That's got to be a huge advantage for the Titans.
I mean, it is, especially with the speed of our guys.
And a young team in Cincinnati.
And all you need is that extra missed false step. I mean, you got Dupree and Autry. That's all you need with those guys. So I agree with you 100% that the crowd can be huge today. If we're consistently loud, you're going to see a lot of penalties by the Cincinnati Bengals.
It's going to be interesting if the Titans are able to get some momentum in terms of getting to Burrow, because then how does Cincinnati adjust? Do they keep somebody in? Do they go to max protect? There are a lot of variations here that makes this game so interesting.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at who's in, who's out when the inactives are named. We will let you know coming up next, as well as Mike Vrabel's keys to a Titans victory. We're live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time to take a look at who's in, who's out. Hour and a half to kick off, which means the inactives are in. And the inactives are presented by Hillside Medical Clinic, as well as Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. Out today for the Titans, wide receiver Dez Fitzpatrick is inactive.
No way.
I know, right? Tackle Dylan Radins is inactive.
No way.
Defensive linemen Laurel Murchison and T.R. Tart are inactive.
Okay.
Outside linebacker Derek Roberson is inactive. And I actually thought about this yesterday.
Don't say Brown.
Linebacker Rashawn Evans is inactive today for the Titans. A healthy scratch for Rashawn Evans. And I will say this. I thought about this yesterday. Jayon Brown played a great game at Cincinnati last year and had an interception taken off the board that I thought was a bad call. They ended up calling a pass interference on Malcolm Butler that I didn't think was a very good call. And Jayon Brown had the interception. And I thought about this. Joe Burrow loves to throw the ball over the middle of the field. Think about the Rams offense. You know, ball comes out quick. And I thought about, you know what? If you're going to have a team that likes to throw to its back, throw to its tight end, and throw over the middle of the field, you'd rather have Brown active than Evans, who only played two snaps against the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely want Brown because he has better instincts. I mean, I know
Evans is a better tackler.
He's a better tackler, and he's even faster. But you can do that but still be out of position. You know, I think a lot of times with Evans, he's always out of position. But you got Brown that might not be as big or even fast, but he's consistently in the right position and around the ball.
This really lowers the chances of Evans coming back next year.
Ooh.
Joke.
I mean, I don't think either guys are coming back next year, Evans or Brown. Are you guys surprised that the Titans can't find a special teams role for Rashawn Evans today? Or the depth? You know, now you're looking at Dylan Cole or other guys that would be out there if you were to have injuries at the linebacker position.
But where would you put him at on special teams? You know what
Evans?
I'm saying? Yeah, Evans.
No, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, just where would you put him at? I mean, you going to put him at gunner? I mean, something like that. It's just that he's got to be more valuable. And with Brown, he can play special teams and do other things.
So, again, are you guys surprised by that? Rashawn Evans is a scratch?
Not as much. You know, obviously with the acquisition of Cunningham, the emergence of Long, you know, that's been a game changer. I mean, that I think is how the Titans envisioned their starting inside linebacker duo for next year and hopefully beyond. I think another sort of interesting aspect to the D-line with Murchison not dressing, and T.R. Tartt is really the only one of the few injury issues the mm-hmm. Titans have. But Murchison kind of beaten out by Kyle Pico. I mean, he's done a good job. Solid run stuffer. You know, another guy that the Titans got off the street. And, you know, he's been there, has been cut a few times. But right now, they like him.
What do we think about the corner depth the Titans will go into this game against the Cincinnati receivers? Because Jackrabbit Jenkins will play. Mm-hmm. Buster Screen will play. Christian Fulton will play. Elijah mm-hmm. Molden will play. Mm-hmm. Chris Jackson will play.
Yeah.
Chris Jones will play. A full complement of corners against these Cincinnati wide receivers.
I mean, I think they'll be all right. And I know we keep talking about and alluding to whoever's in the back part of the defense. I think our rush in the quarterback is going to be okay for those guys not to have to cover that long. I mean, I know we keep saying it and it's redundant, but if the front does what they need supposed to do, then it doesn't matter who we have in the back end because they're not going to have to cover that long.
I agree with him. He's absolutely right. I think the Titans are counting today on having a really potent pass rush, and the back seven will be the back seven.
Me and you can play. You can play safety. Me and you.
I would prefer that we not do that. Inactive today for the Bengals, wide receiver Stanley Morgan, who is questionable with an injury. Wide receiver Trenton Irwin, running back Trayvon Williams, offensive lineman Fred Johnson, corner Vernon Hargraves, and former Titan defensive end Wyatt Ray are all inactive today for the Bengals, so no big stories there. Trey Hendrickson, coming out of concussion protocol, will play. He left Saturday's game against the Raiders with a concussion, 14 sacks for him. The big news of the week for Cincinnati, Larry Ogunjobi, their defensive tackle, placed on IR with a foot injury. And, guys, I think Ogunjobi is a pretty good defensive line. I mean, I think he's in between when, like, figuring out how good he is. I think he's in between Simmons and Autry. Mm. But that's a high-end premium NFL player they don't have in Larry Ogunjobi.
Yeah, it's hard to quantify what a good run defense is these days with everybody, you know, airing it out.
Sure.
You know, last week I thought the Raiders did a pretty good job with Jacobs running the ball mm-hmm. fairly effectively. The Bengals have a high rank in terms of yards allowed on the ground, but that's because they're vulnerable through the air. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, just exactly what the Titans do with Tannehill in terms of throwing the football.
Yeah, I understand that Hubert and Hendrickson are really physical, but I've been watching Saffold play the last couple of weeks, man, especially what he did against the Houston Texans. That offensive line is playing flat-out physical. I know, you know, a lot of times, you know, the beginning of the season, they were getting criticized and everybody moving to different positions, but they're playing football at the right time because they're playing absolutely stank physical football. So I don't think those guys are going to even make a difference.
I do think the Bengals' defensive line is good.
They're good.
They took a big hit without Ogunjobi. B.J. Hill steps into that position, who's a good third guy. And D.J. Reader, their run stuffer, was with Vrabel at the Texans. And Vrabel loves D.J. Reader. I mean, he is a poor man's Vince Wilfork at defensive tackle for the Bengals. Time now to take a look at Mike Vrabel's Key to the Game, presented by Hillside Medical Clinic. And it is the combination and the chemistry between Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Obviously, a lot of talent. And then I think that the trust and the connection that you referenced, you know, is there. You know, it's there down the field, you know, whether it's back shoulder, whether it's in the quick game, you know. But I think he has that, you know, with Higgins and Boyd. You know, they don't have any issues throwing the football. He's really good and instinctive in the pocket to be able to avoid what rush there may be, and has the ability to extend plays and keep his eyes down the field and the arm talent to get those guys the ball.
Chris Sanders, yeah. How would you match up against these Bengals receivers? Would you focus more on zone? Would you stay side to side, or would you take individuals and match them up?
I would go zone. I wouldn't go man-to-man with these guys. And I know everybody's talking about Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase is a great route runner, explosive play, makes explosive plays. But then you got Higgins can get those jump balls. I just think you keep everything in front and spot tackle. I mean, you have to do that because even though, you know, Jamar Chase is the main guy, but you still have some other guys that are explosive. So just when they catch the ball or catch a slant or catch a choice route, just make sure you spot tackle and then for another down.
The real strength of the Titans secondary is down the middle, you know, with Byard and Hooker. I think they're going to play zone. As I mentioned before, they've played it 61% of the time this year. And when they go up against a passing offense like this, I agree with Chris. I think they're going to mix their coverages, but by and large, you're going to see them playing zone. And hopefully they can tackle as well as they have for most of this season.
What do you expect the role of the safeties to be today, given that I think the number one thing Vrabel is looking at is not letting Jamar Chase hit the home run? Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest part in the secondary, the guy that has to be big today is Byard. And the reason why I say Byard is because if you look at Burrow, Burrow is the guy who lies with his eyes. When I say lies with his eyes, he makes you think something there and he's going the opposite way. So if Byard can do what he did, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago when he played against the Cleveland Browns where he had three interceptions because he watched the eyes of the quarterback.
Quarterback's a little bit better.
I know he is, but I know he's a little better, but I'm just saying that if he just makes sure he doesn't take the bait of what Burrow's doing, I think Byard can have a big day.
Yeah, I think Byard is savvy enough, like you said, Chris, not to get suckered. Mm-hmm. And you know, you'll see, you know, safety help on Chase. They're going to try to bracket him. Mm-hmm. But the Titans are not very deep at corner in terms of talent or numbers. So I can see them playing a lot of zone today.
If you wanted a corner to be close to Chase, which one would you pick?
Christian
Fulton. Christian Fulton, 100%.
See, I know this is going to sound crazy.
Don't say Buster Screen.
Don't say Jack Rabbit.
I like a bigger corner on him, though.
Yeah, but he's
a more physical corner than Fulton.
But you can't touch the receiver now, so it'll make a difference at the line of scrimmage. Jamar Chase releases are insane. You want a guy that uses his hands well and can stay on his hip at all times. And only guy that can do that for the Tennessee Titans is Christian Fulton. I know Jack Rabbit is smart, but he continues to get beat at the line of scrimmage. You can't get beat at the line of scrimmage when you're going against Jamar Chase because he will kill you in running routes.
How concerning was what Danny Amendola did to the Titans in the season finale?
He wasn't playing. I mean, some of those routes that he ran to where the quarterback got in trouble and he just kind of slipped through the seam. Me and you can do that. I mean, I think that they're going to cover these guys. They're going to be all right.
I think, you know, we've said it all year. The Titans have a wonderful way of playing up and down to the competition. And even though that was a big game, I think they exhaled a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, they put their feet up on the desk at halftime, up
21. So that's why I'm not all that worried about what Amendola did. I just thought the Titans kind of checked out after they got out to the big lead.
Dylan Raiden's not active for a playoff.
No way.
No first round pick.
No way.
No second round pick. No third round pick. I believe the three of us and Teron Davenport, who we're going to talk to in 5 minutes, I believe the three of us sat here with TD at this exact spot like 8 months ago, and I lost my collective mind during the draft night special.
Oh, you lost it.
If Elijah Molden will be out there today for the Titans. That's it.
If he's still inactive a year from now, I will
swing and a miss.
Give you your props.
There we go. TD is live at the stadium. How did Derrick Henry look on the practice field this week and in warm-ups today? TD will tell us as he is live at Nissan Stadium. This is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House, TD, Teron Davenport, will join us in about 15 minutes or so.
Sam Cassell, baby.
You know, I guess he's got some ESPN hit he's got to do.
Yeah.
So, you know,
What's important here?
Anywho, I will say this.
Yeah.
Before we get into our picks to click, which we'll do here in a second. But home field advantage in the playoffs. And I was just talking to a buddy of mine who's out here at Boomba's with us because he and I are going to the game together. And I am still scarred from 2000. You know, if you are a Titan fan that moved to Nashville 6 years ago and you love the Titans now because, you know what, you got behind them, you're a Nashvillian, and that's fine.
Right.
You hear me all week talking about 2000,
and it's
probably in one ear out the other. If you are a, you know, day one Titan fan or a fan from the early days, or in Chris's case, you know,
appreciate it.
We're wide open in the Super Bowl and they didn't throw you the ball.
Exactly.
Like, if you were that,
yeah,
the thought of 2000 has to haunt you. It haunts me thinking about today's game.
Yeah, I mean, for fans, I understand it. I don't think it means
it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything to the players.
But just the idea that the team had all that momentum at the end of the year.
Thanks.
And was so good.
Thanks.
And just laid an egg.
Thanks.
In a big playoff game.
Thanks.
And I think that's got to be the big fear.
It does. And, you know, obviously 22 years later, you always think that, you know, that's going to happen every year. It's like when you guys got to the Super Bowl in 99 and came so close to winning. So, you know, they'll go back again. And they haven't. And now we can appreciate it more after having so much early success. And if you're a Titans fan since day one, you've got some scar tissue on you. There's no doubt about it. And that's why if they win today, it'll make it all the more sweet.
It just makes me sick to my stomach because we were the better team.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, we were just the better team. But when you go and lay an egg in that game at that time, at that moment, at the biggest stage, I mean, it still haunts me because I could be sitting here with a fat ring right now, and I'm still upset right now. I mean, it all goes back to turnovers. We had 479 yards. Trent Dilfer was, what, 4 for 17, but we had three stinking turnovers. And I don't think that's going to happen today, but if it did happen today, man, it's just a hard feeling to get away from.
Jared, the fact of the matter is, these are games, you know, obviously that fans always remember. But these are also games from the players' side that they literally take to their graves. Yeah. You know, I remember I did that that public event with a bunch of you guys as a panel. And I asked you that. And I said, and this was, you know, maybe 10 years ago. But I asked those guys, how often do you think of the Super Bowl loss? And the 2000 loss to Baltimore. And they go, only every day. And you know,
hard, man.
So if you're a fan, yeah, that really hurts. But I feel worse for the players. And in this particular case, you know, I'm sure this team wants to make its own history. It got to the conference championship 2 years ago. And I think they really believe they can go the distance.
I just want to cry right now. Would you give me a hug, Jared?
Talking about 2000?
Yes. You know, I mean, just it just brings back the memories. Just the memories when we were walking off the field and we're looking at the crowd and you see kids crying, you see parents crying, and then you walk in the locker room and you see big guys like Eddie George, you see big guys like Steve McNair, you see guys like Bruce Matthews, you see guys like John Ray, you see guys like that are in tears because you work so hard, you bleed and you sweat. Through the preseason, you go through OTAs, you go through camps, you go through all these things, and then you go 13-3 and you're running through the league, you have home field advantage, and all you have to do is win two games to get to the Super Bowl. It stings. It doesn't feel good because you worked all your life to get back to that moment because the year before that we lost, you know, coming up a yard short, and then now we put ourselves in position to go 13-3 and we lose. I mean, that hurts, man. That really does. It really does.
I feel like in something like that, you almost rather lose 100 to nothing than lose that kind of game or the Super Bowl the way you guys lost the Super Bowl. I the one thing I'll say is, and I think you're a different kind of team than the Ravens. I mean, than the Bengals. But remember what you did 2 years ago as the number 6 seed in the AFC playoffs, going on the road to Baltimore. And as excited as they were, there's a guy that I've worked with a lot who runs the Ravens radio network. And he texted me and said, this stadium has never been more alive than kickoff for the Titans-Ravens game 2 years ago in Baltimore. He then texted me about 40 minutes later and said he had never heard it so quiet when the Titans took a 14-0 lead.
Wow.
We know the Bengals are an explosive team. I'm not saying I'm more. I'm just a worried, you know, I'm just nervous in general with a lot of things. But getting punched in the mouth early is something that the Titans have got to avoid.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, you know, you think about what's at stake. I really believe that this is going to be a defining postseason for Ryan Tannehill. You know, he doesn't have to be Tom Brady, but he's got to be a difference maker.
Yes.
And I understand that 2 years ago, the smartest thing was to sort of minimize Tannehill and let Henry, you know, do his thing for so many reasons. But this time around, I think Tannehill's got to play better. He's got to play at his best. And I'm sure he's thinking about it. You know, he's got his full array of targets. May not be, the best array of targets in the league, but it's still pretty good because it's supplemented by the best running game in the league.
You know, and just looking at this Tennessee Titans team, and I just want to talk about two different things or kind of like the same thing, is are the Tennessee Titans good when they're on the hunt or when they're getting hunted? I mean, and if you look at that year where they went on a string of wins and getting to the AFC Championship game, nobody believed in them. Nobody said they could do it, but they were hunting. Then now they're being hunted. So how are they going to respond in being in that situation? That's the only thing that I'm kind of concerned on. Are they fat and happy? I don't think so. I think they're going to come out with a full head of steam and put a pounding on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I don't think they're fat and happy.
I mean, not fat and happy.
By any stretch.
Yeah.
But it would really be a shame, you know, for them to go one and done after, you know, the gauntlet they ran to become the number one seed, the teams they beat. And it drives me nuts every time I sit there and, you know, hear how easy the Titans' schedule was the second half of the season. And I'm like, did you see who they beat this year? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I think, too, with the return of Derrick Henry, you almost have to think that if he pops one today, it's going to be electric inside
the house
of Nissan Stadium.
Yep.
And I'm thinking that it goes back, I guess, you know, you think about the return of Derrick Henry and what it means for the Titans. And if I told you guys Derrick Henry picks up exactly where he left off today, any chance the Titans lose?
No.
Minimal chance.
No.
I mean, there's no such thing as a sure thing, but I'd say their chances were about 90%.
But I think our offensive line is going to be juiced up just having Henry in the lineup. And you don't think they're going to give a little extra oomph because he's in the backfield. I'm not saying they didn't do that with Foreman or Hiller, but having him in the backfield and him being back, I think you're going to see this offensive line be extremely physical.
I just don't want to see Tanny start out
with a bomb.
0-for-7.
Yeah. I don't think they'll do that. I think the first play is going to be a pass, and then they're going to start running the ball and then do play action.
We are awaiting TD, who will join us in just a second.
What is TD doing, man?
Do you guys think today that the Tennessee Titans will be able to keep from turning the football over?
Yes.
Why?
It's because of their head coach, Mike Vrabel, stressed it all week long. I mean, if you look at the games that the Tennessee Titans lost against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Texans, the reason why they lost is because of turnovers. So you don't think that Mike Vrabel is going to say that's going to be the emphasis of going into this game. If you play good defense, play good offense, and don't turn over the football, you win. He always talks about that in the press conference. He's probably talking it in the meetings. He's probably talking when he goes out to eat about not having turnovers and make sure these guys don't have turnovers.
I'll tell you what. Here's what scares me a little bit. Well, the Bengals are pretty good at taking away the football at times. And you look at them.
Strip sack for Hendrickson in the game last week was a big one against the Raiders.
It was. And you look this year at who led them in interceptions, and it's Logan Wilson.
Wow.
You know, who sort of floats back into coverage. And for Tannehill, it's always the guy he doesn't see. Yeah. And that's what scares me about Logan Wilson. You know, he's the kind of guy who could pick Tannehill off because that's the kind of mistake that he makes. So, Wilson, you don't often see a defense where the leading interceptor is a linebacker. But that's the case with the Bengals.
Yeah.
TD should be joining us around the corner. We'll also have our picks to click coming up on the pregame show here at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Picks a Click are presented by Bartman Tractor and Equipment. By the way, I think I was the best pick to clicker this year.
No, you absolutely not.
I think so.
That's absolutely false.
All I know is in the last game I had Jeff Swaim or whatever when he had a touchdown. The two times I took Swaim and Pruitt, and you guys laughed at me, Swaim and Pruitt had touchdowns in the games on Pick to Click when I had them to click.
Two catches for 5 yards and a touchdown.
That's his job, is to catch it and fall down.
But he collects.
It's like those players you used to play with, Chris, Mike Roan, catch it and fall down.
Michael Roan, awesome guy.
Yeah, he was. Oh, my goodness.
Just catch it and fall down. Yeah. All right, let's make our picks to click. Chris Sanders offensively, who you got clicking?
I am going with Julio Jones. And the reason why I'm going with Julio Jones, I mean, he's got 31 catches for 476. He's going to get a lot of man-to-man coverage. So, you know, get him involved early, get him a screen, run a couple of curls, and take a shot at him and let him make one of those big-time catches like he did in Atlanta.
Oh, I'm going to reach here and say Derrick Henry. I just think, like I said, I can't wait to see his entrance.
My goodness.
I'm telling you, 2002 Javon Curse, it'll be the biggest entrance since him.
So I was going to go with Julio Jones, and then Chris took it. Then I was going to go with Derrick Henry, and you took it. I'll go A.J. Brown. You know, in the playoffs, here's the thing. You're Cincinnati. You need Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase to go off in this game. You know, if you're the Titans, you need A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry to go off. So I'll go A.J. Brown, since I was going to go Julio, because I think he's going to get a lot of, man-to-man coverage and maybe even man-to-man coverage with Eli Apple. Defensively, Chris, who you got?
I am going with Byard. And the reason why I'm going with Byard is because he is going to read Burrow's eyes, and I think he's going to come up with a clutch pick or even two picks because I think he's that smarter player. He's playing at a different level. He's got 4 or 5 interceptions, and he's a guy that can be a game changer for this defense.
I'm going with Jeff. I think Jeffrey Simmons is absolutely gigantic in this game for the Titans. If he has a great day, you know, we're talking about Derrick Henry. If Jeffrey Simmons has a great day, I think the Titans win.
Give me Bud Dupree. Mm. I think Bud Dupree, this is the game. Hey, you signed a big sacker. He comes in here. I think he's done a great job with the defensive line, had a huge impact, but not the sack numbers. Joe Burrow's going to try to run around and extend the play. That's where Landry and Dupree have to go out there and make Burrow pay and have that pass rush get to him. I'll go Bud Dupree and look for a strip sack. Bud Dupree. Teron Davenport knows all about this. He is at Nissan Stadium right now. TD joins us on the pregame show brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. So, TD, Derrick Henry is on the football field. We know that Derrick Henry's on the football field. You saw him in the practice field this week. You saw him in warm-ups today. How did number 22 look?
Well, we didn't get to see him in warm-ups. Derrick Henry doesn't come out pregame, but I tell you what, watching him in practice all week, he definitely looks like he's ready to go. I actually changed my over-under, you know, a 10 to 15 carries to 20 to 25. And that was after seeing him just be able to plant on that foot and drive upfield. I think he's going to be in good shape and ready to go and help this Titans team do what they need to do.
TD, how much of a boost, just when you talked to the guys this week, did you feel knowing that Derrick Henry was coming back for this?
Oh, I mean, there's a huge boost, and you can feel it. And they understand that him being on the football field doesn't just automatically equal a win. So there's good balance there. But, you know, when you have your most explosive player, your best offensive weapon, even as a defensive player, you know, they're excited about that. So there's really a lot of good vibes right here in this building right now. You know, and it's been that way all week in practice.
We're speaking to Teron Davenport, of course, the Natalie attired. I'll just assume he's got his A outfit today because he's going to be on ESPN. He, of course, the Titans beat writer. TD, what about the physical advantage that A.J. Brown and Julio Jones have over really any of the Cincinnati corners?
Yeah, I mean, that's something to really look at, and that's the thing that in bringing Julio Jones to this team, that's what it was supposed to do, add physicality to the passing attack in addition to the rushing attack. So you look at these guys, you know, working on back shoulder catches and working on contested catches, 50-50 balls, that type of thing. That's what they're going to look to do, right? Push the ball down the field and give their guys opportunities to make plays And it's just a situation where it's like, I feel that my guy is better than your guy, and we're going to take advantage of it. And I think that's what Todd Downing, Ryan Tannehill, that's what they're looking to do.
Bengals gave up the most sacks in the NFL with 51. What about Autry and Simmons providing that A and B gap pressure that we've seen so often this season?
Yeah, that's really important. And if you get the opportunity to watch that end zone view of a lot of Titans games, you know, you might have to press assault and battery charges on DeNico Autry, because he does that on every snap. You see him just beating up offensive linemen. And you see Jeffrey Simmons folding offensive linemen. Those guys on the interior managing those gaps, that's really important for them to do that. And then even, you know, in the pass rush side of things, those guys getting that pressure while you got the guys on the outside just kind of, you know, rushing the quarterback that way. That's really imperative for them to get home that way. So, yeah, absolutely. Autry and Simmons are going to be huge. Bud Dupree in addition to Harold Landry as well.
You know, just kind of, we've been talking all week about Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase is a beast. I mean, he's got 81 catches for over 1,400 yards and 13 TDs. What is Shane Bowen going to do to eliminate him out the game, or who do you think will be on him to cover him?
Yeah, well, I don't see them going cat coverage, even though he and Christian Fulton, they played together dating back to high school. I still don't see them doing that. I think they're going to play sides. But one thing to watch, Chase typically lines up a lot on the right side for some reason, and Joe Burrow likes to throw to that right side. You look at the percentages, you'll see that it's a lot higher going to the right. So I think really what it comes down to, as we mentioned, rushing four, dropping seven, but within those seven, you have to be able to make sure you have that safety help over top. So look for them just kind of disguising things, right, giving one look pre-snap, but then rotating one of their safeties outside of the box into that deep half of the field, and that will give them help over top against Higgins, against Ja'Marr Chase. That's really the best way to do it. Yeah. But then you also have to stay over top of him, whereas if he catches that slant, you got to tackle and wrap up and bring him down immediately because he's so good getting yards after the catch.
Yeah, just looking at Burrow. Burrow hasn't turned over the ball lately. I mean, in his last 180 attempts, he hasn't had any interceptions. What do you think that this front or the secondary needs to really do to really get after him for him to create some mistakes?
Yeah, I think really what they have to do, we say get home, right? We keep saying that the guys up front, they got to get home. But if they're not getting home, they have to make sure that they get their hands up, because if you get a tip pass at the line of scrimmage, when you have guys like David Long and Zach Cunningham, they can get an interception at the second level. So that's what you need to get. And to be able to do that, I think that's how you get those extra turnovers, and that's something to get an added possession for the Titans.
TD is with us at Nissan Stadium. TD, what did you make of the Titans' decision, which I actually think was the right decision, but the decision to go Jayon Brown over Rashawn Evans today?
Yeah, I mean, that's huge, right? Jayon Brown over Rashawn Evans. I think Jayon gives them a better situation when it comes to third down and being able to defend against that. So really, it's just situationally, it's a better thing for the Titans to do it that way.
TD, how defining a postseason could this be for Ryan Tannehill? And in his mind, what does he feel like he really has to do today?
Yeah, I mean, he feels like he just has to win the game. And that's the thing, the beauty of Ryan Tannehill. You don't have to be concerned about a guy who is so focused on stats and those type of things. So don't turn the football over and make sure that you take those shots when they're there. You know, take advantage of opportunities. If you don't do that, then you're going to lose the game. That's really what it comes down to. When it's time to get in the red zone, make plays with your legs, and do those things that you got to do. And if you look, that's been a big part of their red zone efficiency.
Yeah, and just looking at the running back situation, TD, I mean, Todd Downing has a good problem. He has Foreman, he has Healing, he has Henry. How do you think he's going to use these three running backs, and how can they all be effective in the running game?
Yeah, I think it's really going to come down to making sure that you establish early that you're going to run the football and that it's going to be a physical type of a game. And when you do that, right, and you make it understood that you're going to run the ball, what ends up happening is that play action gets a little bit better, right? And you look at this Bengals defense, they've allowed the fifth most play action passing yards this year. So there are going to be opportunities for them to do that. And, I mean, just, you know, this team, they pride themselves on being able to run the football. And I think when you have Derrick Henry coming back and you have this crowd is ready to erupt, you know. And so when that happens, you know, he gets the ball. That's what you're going to see, and they're going to ride that.
I'm glad you brought up the crowd, TD, because there's been kind of a fear early in the week that maybe there were going to be a lot of Bengal fans that infiltrate Nissan Stadium. What, I know it's early, you know, in terms of this, but what does the makeup of the crowd kind of look like?
Yeah, it looks like predominantly Titans fans, honestly. I'm not seeing a lot of Bengals fans at all, to be frank with you. And that's the way that they tried to make it, you know, with the limitations as far as transferring tickets and those type of things. So make no mistake about it, man. This is the Titans Stadium. This is what they're looking to do. They waited for this opportunity, and, I mean, it's here now.
TD, tell us about Hard Rock Cafe. I know that they're very excited about all of their spot downtown on Broadway for the playoffs.
Oh, man, I tell you what. You know, it's playoff time in Nashville, and that's the best tailgate right now is across the river, like you said, at Hard Rock. We got some of our guys over there, 1025, the game is on site. So make sure you definitely check that out, man. The grills are fired up. Fresh burgers, hot chicken sandwiches, barbecue sandwiches. I'm slobbering just thinking about it. Now, I don't drink like that, but if you do, they got the full drink specials as well. Spiked cider, hot chocolate. Let's go. And they even got a DJ, man. DJ Seago, ready to go. So definitely, if you can't get inside the
That's
building,
awesome.
Talking about Nashville, Nissan Stadium, get inside across the river at Hard Rock. It's an event you can't miss.
Teron Davenport, as always, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, enjoy the game. We look forward to your coverage.
Appreciate you, Doc.
Thank you. Appreciate you, guys.
Yep, Teron Davenport joining us on the program. You heard what he said about the crowd. Because there was a fear early in the week. And I said, look, it's not going to be like that. This is going to be. I said early in the week, this was going to be like the old days. And, Chris, you know it because you played it.
Gosh.
Mark, you know it because you covered it, that the Titans, when they were bad, it would be, you know, probably 40% Bengals fans for a regular season game. With them good, when you've got a whole offseason and it's a regular season game and you can plan out your trip to Nashville and you could do all of that, you know, there would be a lot of Bengals fans. There wasn't all of that. I think this is a tough ticket to get. And I think the Titan fans are keeping their tickets. And you heard TD say he thinks it's primarily Titan fans that are at Nissan Stadium today. I think this is going to be like the old days. For a young team like the Bengals, I think this home field advantage, Chris Sanders, is going to be something that we should not overlook.
Oh, you can't. I mean, we talked about it a little earlier. I mean, it's going to make Joe Burrow really struggle because he can't really hear the call. He can't go through his cadence because it's going to be so loud. Because if you look at, you know, when I was there in 1999, when people came to come play us, you could barely hear. It was deafening because the fans were so excited, and I think we're going to see the same atmosphere here.
But you go to Indy.
Is it loud?
And, yeah, there were a lot of Titans fans there.
Oh, yeah.
But that game didn't break until Eddie broke with
a
long
point.
Touchdown run.
Yeah.
And a big play, you know, sounds kind of stupid, but a big play could really decide this game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think a big play by the Titans.
Henry Runner, a chase catch.
I think a big play by the Titans early. Now, the Titans offense, and this is one of the big things for concern with Todd Downing, is that they don't start off very quickly. But I think a big play early today could really set the crowd off and really put Cincinnati on their heels. I think if you can get a lead on Cincinnati, a 10-0 lead will feel like a 20-0 lead to Cincinnati. And then you get Burrow to start to press and force things, and then you can pin your ears back, and you can get after the quarterback. And I think that's all a big deal going into this one.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I think when they start the game, I think that first series is going to be so important. I don't know if it's offense or defense or whatever they go. If the Tennessee Titans get a three and out, and then they give the ball to Tannehill and Derrick Henry and those guys, and they go and score, that place is going to be on fire. But if they go out there and lay an egg in a three and out and Cincinnati throws a bomb for a touchdown, they're going to take that crowd right out of it. So it is so important that the Tennessee Titans start fast and create some excitement for these fans.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the sports books. What are they saying about tonight's game? We'll check in there. Plus, we'll make our final game day predictions. That's coming up live from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. It's a pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time now to take a look at the sports books. Tonight's game, Titans and Bengals. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. It is also America's number one sportsbook app and an official betting partner of the NFL. The latest odds on today's game are presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. The line has shifted, Mark Howard, from 3.5 in favor of the Titans to 4 for the Titans. Apparently a lot of money coming in on Tennessee today.
Yeah, initially the Titans were favored by 3. And then it got bet up to 3.5. And the late money, you know, we'll see how that influences things. I think it's going to be a close game. I really do. I don't know if I, you know, I might take the Bengals plus 4 because I can see the Titans. I think it's going to be a field goal game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anytime touchdown scorer.
No, you might be right.
Anytime touchdown score in today's game, you guys, Chris, give me a touchdown score. Who's going to score a touchdown today in today's game?
I would say Julio Jones.
Julio Jones is plus 190 to score a touchdown today. Mark Howard?
I'll say Tannehill.
So Ryan Tannehill might be the best odds on the board at plus 300, where he sits there with Nick Westbrook Akina. Derrick Henry is the favorite at minus 175. Joe Mixon plus 100. Ja'Marr Chase plus 105. A.J. Brown plus 115. What would you guys put on the rushing yards today for Derrick Henry?
I would say 76.
I'll say 79.
85 and a half for Derrick Henry is the over-under total. Man. Vegas expecting Derrick Henry to tote the rock today.
Yeah, he probably will.
I would take that over, but I think Derrick is going to have a Derrick-like performance today.
I agree with you.
I think 130 yards might be a possibility today for Derrick Henry. I am buying the Kool-Aid on that one.
That would be nice.
Meanwhile, Ryan Tannehill, 15.5 rushing yards. Would you take the over or the under?
The over.
Over. I'm going over.
I think especially with Henry back, there's going to be at least one or two Tannehill runs. It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Tannehill passing the ball, 238.5.
Under.
I hope it's under. I hope it's under.
Yeah.
That's a hard one. I mean, because their secondary is so bad, I would say over.
Joe Burrow is 278.5 passing yards.
I could see him going over.
I say under.
I think in this one, like if you're the Titans, don't you want Burrow to have one of those days where he has to throw it 55 times?
Yeah.
You know, where he ends up getting 345 yards, but because they're down the whole game,
right,
and he's always throwing, that he ends up with those totals.
Yeah, it's like empty calories, like Twinkies. Yeah.
By the way, the other games, and I am a little, like, everybody talks about how they feel like this game is going to be the closest game of the weekend. I disagree. I think that the Rams game, Rams-Bucks, is going to be the closest. The other lines, Green Bay is 5.5, bet up from 4.5, which I would say put your money on Green Bay. Tampa Bay opened at 2.5. They're now at 3. Kansas City opened at 1.5, and they are still there, minus 1.5 for Kansas City.
Boy, the Bills.
The Bills are looking good.
The Bills right now are the darlings of the guys in Vegas, the bookmakers. For Kansas City only to be a 1.5 favorite at home, it tells you what they, you know, how they feel.
I think Buffalo's going to win that game, I think Buffalo's going to be favored coming in here next weekend, if that's, in fact, what happens. Those are the latest odds presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook app, and, of course, my official sportsbook app as well. Time now for our final game day predicts. Lay it out for me. What happens tonight? Who wins? And why, what's the final score? Our final game picks are brought to you every week by Social Furniture, located at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville. Shop local, shop social? Chris Sanders.
At the beginning of the week, I said 30-0, and I got cussed out. I got hate mail and all that
Chris
stuff.
Chris Sanders said on Friday that if they played the Bengals, that it would be a blowout and a goose egg.
I'm gonna go 31-17 Tennessee Titans. The reason why I say the Tennessee Titans is because they're just a better team overall. I mean, I know they may be better quarterback, but I just think that the Tennessee Titans are better on defense. They're better on the offensive line. I think they're more physical than the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'll go with the Tennessee Titans 31, Cincinnati Bengals 17.
I'm going to say Titans 26, Bengals 23.
Oh, no.
Don't scare me there.
Close
Randy
game.
Bullock. We're going to be toasting Randy
Bullock. Close game. I felt bad because Randy Bullock went out there to kick the game winner against San Francisco, and I tweeted out when he got up there, you know, hey, this he's kicking for his career here. You know what I mean? You got to make this, and if you make the one that cost you the game, you got to go. And then he made the kick, which was good. And then he said after the game was over that it was the anniversary of his father's passing, and I felt bad that, you know, I'd be like, get this kicker out of here, you know, on the anniversary. But he made his kick. I can't do a close game tonight, guys. I will not be able to handle it. I'm going to take the Titans. 27-16. And here's why I think the Titans are going to win and win the ACER. I think Cincinnati's going to move the ball. I think the Titans are going to stop them in the red zone. I think the Titans will end up scoring touchdowns in the red zone. I think that's what today's game all comes down to, is the red zone. I'll take the Titans to get it done today. You got like a serious face, Chris Sanders.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I don't even think it's going to be close. I just think that we're the better team overall. I mean, we are. I understand that. You know, that's a good story with the Cincinnati Bengals. But when you get past that, when you come to physicality and impact players, Tennessee Titans got more, baby. Let's go get it, Joe.
That's going to do it for us. Will we be back here at Boomba's?
Yes, we will.
Next Sunday. We all say yes so far in the pregame show that Mark Howard wants to make it as close as physically possible at 26-23. For Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, Ladarius on site, Jared Cassidy at the studio. It's been the pregame show. Enjoy the game, ESPN 102.5 The Game.